So today's daf is Tes Vav, and we'll start from the bottom of Yud Daled Amud Beis. The Gemara from Tashma. The Gemara had been discussing in Machlokas about whether or not Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel had a Machlokas. And we always pass like Beis Hillel, in almost every case we pass like Beis Hillel. So when Beis Shammai held differently, did they actually act upon what they held? Im asu or lo asu? Did they do it? Did they hold this way, but they didn't actually do it? Or no, they also implemented their halakha lemaisa. So that was the question the Gemara had been dealing with up until now. So the Gemara attempts to bring a proof from the following. Tashma. Again, five lines from the bottom of Yud Daled Amud Beis going on to Tes Vav. Tashma, d'amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, heyach halacha zu, roveches b'Yisrael. How did this halacha expand itself, spread itself into Klal Yisrael? So what shalach are we talking about here? It's the situation of a right, so a tzara of a nerva. So according to Beis Shammai, that tzara is completely mutter. According to Beis Hillel, that tzara is aser. So what happens?
But the Mishnah say clearly that it's a so, no?
That what?
The Mishnah says clearly that it's a rovavah, it's a so.
That's Beis Hillel, but Beis Shammai argues. So within Beis Shammai,
And who's the Mishnah? Who's the author of the Mishnah?
I guess Lechor, they hold like Beis Hillel. We always hold like Beis Hillel, so I guess we assume it's Beis Hillel. So what happens here? So according to the Gemara says, if it's Nase Kedivrei Beis Shammai, so it's a Vlad Mamzer Ledivrei Beis Hillel. So according to Beis Shammai, that Sarah is not Aser. So let's say we have Reuven and Shimon, and you have a wife and the tzara. Reuven dies, and Shimon cannot be with a wife because, sorry, two wives he has. So one wife is, let's say, an ervatim, a daughter. So the tzara, according to Beis Shammai, the tzara is actually chayiv in Yibam. So the Shimon does Yibam with the tzara, which according to Beis Shammai is supposed to. Turns out, according to Beis Hillel, it's a mamzer, because Beis Hillel says that tzara's erva is aser too. So that creates a mamzer. Any relationship that's aser, that's an iser kares, an iser erva, will generate a mamzer. And then if it goes according to Nasa Kedivrei Beis Hillel, let's say Beis Hillel, where that tzara does not require anything, it's completely pater. But Beis Shammai requires you need to do yibum or chalitza to that other one, at least to do chalitza. So if you don't do chalitza according to Beis Shammai, you follow Beis Hillel, you do nothing. So and they end up, let's say they, she gets married to someone else now. She's zakuk. According to Beis Shammai, this tzara is zakuk to the Reuven. But Beis Hillel says no, she's completely mutter to the shuk. So she goes out and gets married to somebody else, which is mutter according to Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says that's going to produce, it won't be a mamzer, because she's not actually married to somebody, but it's going to create a pagam in the Vlad. A pagam, Rashi tells us, it's a pagam that she cannot marry a Kohen. She'll be a Chalal. She can't marry a Kohen, this lady. So that's what the Braisa tells us. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri tells us. So then the Gemara says, so Bovaniskan, what we should do is as follows. We should make a takana and fix everything. Miniskan la tzaros and fix all the tzaros. How? Shehu choltos lo misyamos. We should encourage all the women, all these situations, to perform chalitza and not perform yibum. Right? Because if, according to Beis Hillel, doesn't require anything for this lady. Beis Shammai does. So to get around the problem, just do chalitza for this lady, and Beis Shammai will agree she's now single and permitted to marry anyone else. And according to Beis Hillel, it was a chalitza that was unnecessary, but nothing's lost by doing an unnecessary chalitza. It was nothing. Either way, that's what's going to fix every problem. And both Beis Shammai and both Beis Hillel, there'll be no issues of Vlad Mamzer and Vlad Pekam. Okay. That's what they decided to do. However, says the Gemara, the top of Tes Vav Min Aleph, Lo Hespiku Ligmor, they didn't have enough time to complete the Etz HaDavar and to give the final Pesach and to send out all the letters. Actually, the Tarfa Hashah, the time the Tarfa is like to shake, the time became very limited and they didn't have a chance to finalize this halacha. So now that being said, Amalei Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel pipes in and says, Ma nasa lahem l'tzaros harishonos, me'ata. What's going to be now with the earlier tzaros that Rashi tells us? Look at top line, Ma nasa l'tzaros harishonos, shenisyavmu uvneim mamzerim im nigmor halacha shelo yisyavmu. So now they're making this new halacha that the Chumash establishing you have to do chalita, you are not allowed to do yibum. just to make it no machlokas between Beis Hillel and Shammai. What happened to the previous generations where they didn't have such a takana, and they said that according to Beis Shammai, they could go ahead and perform Yibam with this Sarah? You're now basically saying the previous generations that Yibam was Mamzer, and you can't be Motzi Laz and Mamzer. So that's the Shaila Rashbag had against this suggestion. So that's the discussion. Now the Gemara says we can analyze the following. Now E Amris Bishma Asu Hainu Dekamer Manasseh. This makes sense if they actually did it. If according to Beis Shammai, when they gave their Psak, they said that you're also not only to be hold this way, but we think you should actually implement it and do it this way. So this whole discussion makes sense that in the previous generations that they actually would perform Yibam according to Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai held that Tzaras Erva has to do either Yibam or Chalitza. But Ela Yamers Lo Asu, if you say Beis Shammai just gave the Psak, but no one ever acted upon it, no one ever listened to Beis Shammai, then my Ma'anasev, what was Ma'anasev? What happened? What do you mean? What's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's complaint of what's going to be with the previous generations? No one ever actually followed Beis Shammai. But they did. So it's clear from this that they actually did Asu. They did follow Beis Shammai.
It's not never. It's until they said they decided Halacha Kevet Hillel. So prior to that, they did listen to Beis Shammai.
Now, we're not sure. That was a shy. Like Gemara said, even though Beis Shammai may have held a certain way, we didn't necessarily listen to him. We didn't follow him. Because already then, I guess the Rove Tibor felt by Sil was right.
But previous to
the Baskol in your thing?
Previous to that.
Right. I think Gemara addressed this in yesterday's daf, I think, about before the Baskol, after the Baskol. So Gemara says, So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Lo Nitzcha Elo Tzara Atma. We're not referring to the children of the kids, rather, our concern is the Tzara herself. So, the Tzara herself. What's the difference here? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was not concerned of the Bnei Tzaros that were Yibam was already done. The concern is the Tzara herself. How so? If you look at Rashi, the Tzara Atzma, three lines from the top. Vatzaros the Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel felt that Tzaros of the Erva could get married to anyone they wanted in the Shuk. There's no need for a Chalitza or a Yibam. V'hai na mai nasa lav abanim kai. The not mai nasa, what's going to be with the status of the bottom, that was not of concern to Rashbag. Even Beis Shammai agrees that these children will be mutter to the Kal. So even in Beis Shammai's world, where he thinks Tzaros Erva requires Chalitza or Yibam, and let's say it was not done, and they went ahead and married someone else without doing chalitza, even Beis Shammai will agree that they are mutter to the children of that relationship will be mutter, without getting to how that works. So there's never concern about the children being mamzerim. The only tiny Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had was what's going to be of the tsar herself, who may have gotten married to somebody else now, without doing the chalitza. That's the concern. So, but either way, I'm not sure how that answers the question, though. What does it mean, ma'anasa, the Gemara says? Let's see. Ma'anasa. Halchikama. This is what it means to say. Hanoch tzaras beis hillel. The tzaras of beis hillel, according to beis hillel, who are allowed to get married without chalitza. The beis shammai, according to beis shammai, who requires a chalitza before getting married. Hechenavelu. What are you going to do with them now? So what happens, these ladies got married to somebody else, which according to beis hillel are okay. Because tzaras ever... They're married legally only according to Beis Shammai, though. So what's going to be? Hey, Chanavi, what are you going to... Not Ma Nasa, what's going to happen with them? Hey, Chanavi, what should you do with them? Lichlitzu, if you're going to have them perform Chalitza, then Mimase Agavra, it's going to look disgusting to their husbands after they're married to them. Are we talking about where they're already married to them?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's going to look strange to the husband that they're married to this woman and now they have to have the brother-in-law perform this other man perform chalitza to his wife, even though it's weird and spitting the shoe. It just makes him feel think weird things. V'chitema limasan. So who cares? So all right. So there'll be a little. So he'll find her to be a little disgusting. What's the big deal? Strange havim. Yeah? The Gemara says because darchea. We don't want that. We're supposed to be beautiful and peaceful between husband and wife. So therefore, nothing to do. So I think in the end, what's going on here is Rashbag is saying, don't make the halacha this way according to Beis Shammai, that everyone should do chalitza. even after the fact, don't do chalitza, because it's going to make the husband and wives look at each other, or husband look at the wife a little bit disgustingly, and we don't want that to happen because of the concept of darche, darchinom, v'chol nisive ha'shalom. Either way, this b'raisa does not prove to say that they necessarily follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. Mar brings another raya, Tashma. Dama Rabbi Tarfon, Taveni, Taveni lashon of close to the taiva, even though it's spelled differently in taiva, Taveni, I wanted, I always had a taiva, says Rabbi Tarfon, Masai Tavot, Saras Habas, Liadi, Vesena, very strange, but this shows you the, I guess, the Kocha Chachamim, that he always had a desire that he wanted to marry his daughter's Tsara. What does that mean? So that means that he had a daughter who was married to a man, and that man had another wife. He wanted his son-in-law to die without having children, in order that he should, his now, but his brother, again, his Tarfon had a brother, I guess, apparently, who married his daughter. And his brother had married another wife.
Is that allowed?
It's allowed, yeah. You could marry an uncle. Mm. Right. Sarah and Avram were uncle. Avram was Sarah's uncle. So again, Rabbi Tarfon had a brother who was married to Rabbi Tarfon's daughter, and the brother had another wife, and Rabbi Tarfon wanted that his brother die without any children. Could you imagine? That's what he wanted. So therefore, his daughter falls to him as a Yibum, which he couldn't perform, but the Tsara of his daughter, the other wife, you can perform Yibum. So we see Rabbi Tarfon said, I can't wait. I want my brother to die earlier, die without children, so I could perform Yibum with my Tsara Vito. That's what he wanted. So, why? And marry her. So we see from here that he clearly he did want to act upon Beis Shammai. It wasn't simply a theoretical psak. It was actually wanted to implement it. So Gemara says, no, Ema Vasiena. Vasiena means I want her to be married to the Shuk according to Beis Hillel. Not that I can't marry her because I hold like Beis Hillel, says Rabbi Tarfon. I can't wait to that happen to prove that Halach is like Beis Hillel, that she can get married to the Shuk without any chalitza in between. Vatavani Kamar doesn't say I want to perform the marriage according to Beis Shammai. I want to do it. Says the Gemara, no. Lafuki Midrabi Yochanan ben Nuri. To Ksur Biyochman Nuri, who suggested one should do chalitza as opposed to doing yibum. Okay, so that's what goes on. So we had two ways to read that brisa. Again, not a raya that they necessarily acted according to Beis Shammai. Now the Gemara says further another brisa. Tashma Ma'isa Bebitol Shereb Gamliel, the daughter of Reb Gamliel, Shehaisa Nesula Abba Achiv. So Reb Gamliel's daughter was married to his brother. Same situation as before. I guess it was common for the a woman to marry her uncle. Umeis b'labanim, and Rabbi Gamliel's brother died without children. Abba. What?
Abba Mit.
But which is his brother. His brother's name is Abba, I think. Yeah. Right. So his brother, without getting confused with Abba, but his brother died without children. The Yabam, Rabbi Gamliel, as Sarasa, and Rabbi Gamliel performed the Yibam with the Tsara of his daughter.
And it was Sara Tova.
Sorry?
And it was Sara Tova.
Yeah, Tzara Tova, because it was his daughter married to his brother. He can't marry his daughter, obviously. So, but the Tzara Bita was permitted. So we see Rabbi Gamliel listen to Beis Shammai also. Gemara says, V'tisvara, does this really make sense? Rabbi Gamliel, mitami de Beis Shammai hi? Or is that more of a question? Was he of Beis Shammai? He was a Talmud of Beis Hillel. Why would he listen to Beis Shammai? So clearly Rabbi Gamliel was not going to perform Yibum on Tzara Bita. Beis Hillel says that's Asr. El Shain here.
But they said you're not required.
You're not required. You're not required, and it's also usher.
But he said it's usher.
Because it ends up, right, it's usher as well.
And Bet Shammai said you do not. No. Bet Hillel said it's usher to do Yibum to Tzarat Rava.
Yeah.
And Bet Shammai is Matir.
Right.
And this guy is Bet Hillel, and he did it.
Exactly.
So.
That's the question. So you can't tell me Rabbi Gamliel actually did Yibum with Tzaras Bito. He's a Talmud of Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel says it's also to do Yibum with Tzaras Bito. So something's different. We're missing something here. So what are we missing? So it says we're missing something very important. El Shiny Bito of Rabbi Gamliel, the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel, is different. Why? The islandess Have. She was an islandess. She was a woman who had this biological makeup where she could not have children. That's what an islandess is. So. And therefore, what? Who cares about her being an islandess? The fact that she's an islandess, if you look at Rashi, Rashi tells us this is towards the top. Islandess Hayisa, Vitznan, the mission, the very first mission of the Masechta tells us, Oshinimsu islandess, Sarosa Mutaros. if the woman who is a daughter, let's say, like this case, is an islandess, then the tsaros is actually going to be mutter, because the islandess uproots the entire marriage. The Gemara is going to explain a little bit, and Rashi will. But basically what happens is when a man marries a woman, he expects her to be able to have children, and he doesn't know she's an islandess. So he finds out afterwards she's an islandess, has this biological makeup. So it ends up uprooting the Kiddushin from the beginning, as if there was never a marriage in the first place. And that's why the Tsaros islandess is mutter to Rebbe Gamliel. That's what's going on here. This is no proof to base Hillel Beis Shammai. Gemara says, wait a second, how could this be talking about an islandess, that his daughter was an islandess? The fact that the Seifa of this Brisa tells us, Achem Omrim, others are of the opinion, Bita Shev Rebbe Gamliel, Islandess Haisa, that the Achem say that the daughter of Rebbe Gamliel was an islandess. Michlal implying that according to the Tanakhama, Sever Lav Islandess Haisa, must be that the Tanakhama holds that she was an islandess.
She what?
That she was not an islandess.
Well, what's
the first part is Rebbe Gamliel married Bito, Tsaros Bito. How's that mutter?
Bito was islandess.
So the, well, exactly.
It's not put there.
Then where it says that very same Brisa at the end of the Brisa, the Seifa, yeah, says Achim Amram, others say that the Bita of Rebbe Gamliel was an islandess.
So the same thing.
Yeah, so can't be the same. How could Achim argue? Achim Omrim are supposed to be arguing.
Oh.
If Achim are saying islandess, it must be that the first opinion can't be saying islandess.
Mm.
So there has to be another reason. Again, so we're back to square one. How is it possible, according to the Tanakhama, that Rebbe Gamliel married his Tsaros Bito? Because it seems that the Tanakhama thinks that she was not an islandess. Only the Acherim thinks she was an islandess, but not the Tanakhama. Gemara says, no, they both agree that she was an islandess. So what's the difference between the Tanakhama and the Acherim? So Gemara says, Hikirba, lo hikirba, ikibinao. There's an ikibinao, there's a nafkamina. The difference between the two opinions is hikirba, velo hikirba. What's hikirba, lo hikirba mean? So Rashi writes, hikirba, velo hikirba, ikibinao, velo garsin ella. The Tanakhama dafka delo hikirba hu dahavi mekachtos. According to Tanakhama, only if they did not recognize that she had this islandess issue is it going to be mekachtos. Aval hikirba tarasa asur. But if, according to the Tanakhama, they recognized from the beginning, they recognized before that this person was going to marry this lady, that she was already an islandess, there's no claim. You knew coming into the marriage that she was an islandess. Then there's no such claim. And it would be a good marriage, and then Tsaros Bito would in fact be also to Rebbe Gamliel. But according to L'Acherim, Afil Hikirba Mutter, even if they recognize at the time of marriage that she was an islandess, still the Tsaros Bito of the Tsaros islandess will be Mutter. That's the difference. Okay. Again, the difference is, if they knew from the beginning that she was islandess, and they got married anyways, will that after the Tsaros islandess or mata the Tsaros islandess? Tanakhama thinks that situation will after the Tsaros islandess. Only if it was a mistake will it be mutter the Tsaros islandess. But Achim thinks in all situations, even when you recognize that she was an islandess in the beginning, the Tsaros islandess will still be mutter to the brother-in-law. Then the Gemara says, Vibayisema. There's another nafkamina between the two opinions of Tanakhama and the Achim. Kanas ulvasof girish ikabinayo. A situation where they got married and then had gotten divorced. So look at Rashi again here. Kanas ulvasof girish ikibunayo. The Tanakhama, according to the first opinion of the Braisa, ayideisha girish achiv esbito. So what happens here is that the brother had divorced his niece. He divorced his brother's daughter. Okay. Kodem misa, before he had died. So afal pisha kfar kanas hanachris, even though he already got married to the other woman, hayu tsarazu alzu muteras. So what happens is, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Shimon marries Reuven's daughter and another lady. Reuven divorces the daughter. So now, and Reuven dies. Is Shimon allowed to marry the Tsaros Bito? Now his brother's not married, was not married anymore to his daughter.
She's not Tsaros Bito anymore.
Exactly. So according to Tanakhama, she's not Tsaros Bito anymore because they already got divorced. At the time of Misa, this lady is not Tsaros Bito. The Bito's out of the picture. But according to the Acherim thinks no. Once, even though they got divorced now, the fact is that they're both married at some point to the brother, and this lady has, the other foreign woman, the Nachris, has a shamed Tsaros Bito forever. Even though B'Shas Misa, they're already divorced, the daughter's divorced.
That's the first time we heard such a thing, no?
It's very, yeah, first time hearing such a thing. It's very fascinating that this halos shamed Tsaros Bito, even though they're divorced, yes. And then the Gemara says there's yet a third nafkamina between these two opinions, and that's as follows, Yibayis Ema, Yesh Tanai Bivia Ikabinao. Is there Tanai in the Bia? That's the difference. What does that mean? So look at Rashi for this one as well. Yesh Tanai Bia. Hakones Isha al Tanai. A man marries a woman on the following condition. Shein Aleha Mumun. I'm marrying this woman on the condition that she has no mum. Oh, Nidarm. Or she has no Nidarm. She doesn't take upon herself any Yisurim. She doesn't take a nether not to cook. Like, how do I know? I married a woman and turned out she took a nether. I'm never going to cook. So that I didn't know that to happen. V'nimtza she shaleh. Turned out she took a nether. Like, I will never cook. Or she has a mum or something, whatever the mum might be. Something that he didn't expect. So these situations are called a mekach taos. And the kedushin is undone. Now, the Tanakhama mahani tanai v'havi mekach taos. So according to Tanakhama, if a person makes such a tanai, I'm marrying this lady on the tanai that she has no mumim, and it turns out she has a mum, so it's a mekach taos, and the kedushin is null and void.
Can you do it today too?
In theory, you can, yeah. Only if you make it with a tanai, I think. Okay, so what was the tanai in this case? Says Rashi, the tanai hayalal le'achiv shor Rabbi Gamliel bebito. Rabbi Gamliel's brother, who had married Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, had the following tanai. V'lo niskayim, he had tanai, but the tanai was not kept. Hokach lav ishahu v'taras muteris. He made such a tanai that she wasn't a mum. Turned out she had a mum, and therefore the kedushin was batal. Acherim savri de'ein tanai b'mal b'bia. But a tanai does not work with bia. Tanai only works with kedushin, but not with bia. Why? Dechevin de ba'il, once they had bia already, achul achil, he already was mochel in any mum or nether that he finds. Kedamrina mit ksuvis bahamadir, the Perek Madir says, Ein adam osa bialasa bialasnus, ela mishim dialas haisa. The person does not have bia bialasnus. So what happens is, let's say they get married, the three ways to get married to do kedushin is either kesef, shar, bia. So let's say he says, let's get married with kesef, on the condition that there's no mum or no nether. After getting married with kesef, before having bia, he finds out there's a mum. He ends the relationship.
That's good.
But let's say he says the same tonight. They get married, kedushin ayde bia. Ayde bia. And then he realizes that after that there's some mum or nether. So that's machlokas. Will the tanai after there being bia, will it be uprooting the kedushin or not? So according to the Acherim, he says, no, we have this concept that ain adam osa bilasa bilas znus. So the person does not make his tashmish into znus. So by him saying that it's batal, in essence he's saying the tashmish he had a couple of days ago, it was actually bilas znus. He's turning what was a bias kedushin to bias nus that people don't do. But according to the Tanakhama, they felt, no, it's possible that people do can make their bias nus, and therefore the Tanai, even after bia, will uproot it. So, okay, fine. Now, those three nafkamis are all on the side. The reason why we brought this b'risa, of course, we wanted to suggest originally that they're following Beis Shammai, but the Rav Gamliel is really following Beis Hillel, and we had these all other explanations as to why he was mota tzaras bita because she was an islandess. Okay. Marna asks the following question. Mesiv Rav Misharshia. Misharshia has the following question. Maisiv Rabbi Kiva. There's a maisiv that happened once with Rabbi Kiva. This gemara appears also in Rosh Hashanah and in Erevin. Shalikit esog be'echad b'shvat v'nog ba beiz isurim. He picked an esog in the first day of Shvat, after first day of Shvat, and he kept to it two isurim. Echad kedivrei beis shamei, echad kedivrei beis hillel. So let's understand what's going on here. This machlokas, the mission in Rosh Hashanah tells us, when is the new year for the trees? Rosh Hashanah lilanos is two b'shvat, as we know. But there's also, that's the opinion of Beis Hillel. There's also the opinion of Beis Shammai who held that Av Shvat is the new year of the trees. Who cares when the new year of the trees is? Because it depends what year it is, when you have to take Maaser Sheni versus Maaser Ani. So the halacha is that during of the Shemitah cycle, there's years 1 and 2, and 4 and 5 is Maaser Sheni, you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Years 3 and 6 is Maaser Ani. You don't do Maaser Sheni. Instead, you do Maaser Ani. You give it to the poor. Okay. So it depends what year you're in of the tree. So you have to know what year of the tree you're in, whether or not you're... what year of the Shemitah you're in, to know whether or not what it was part of last year, part of this year, to know if it's Maaser Ani, Maaser Sheni. So Rabbi Kiva was Machmir, and he did both. Because what happened was, since he picked it after Alf Shvat... So according to Beis Shammai, it's the new year. But since it's before Tu B'Shvat, it's still the old year according to Beis Hillel. So here's Machbir. In those 14-15 days in between, that's where the Machlokas really comes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Here's Machbir. I'm going to take Maaser twice. Once for Maaser Ani, once for Maaser Sheni. So the Gemara says, Shema Mina, Asu. He did it. He followed Beis Shammai. Gemara says no. Rabbi Kiva Gamra, he had a smisura, and a stopic leib liyada ibeis hilah ba'echa b'shvat amar or b'tezva b'shvat amar. He had a misora that there was machlokus between beis hilah b'shamai. One held alf shvat was Rosh Hashanah, one held tu b'shvat was Rosh Hashanah. But he wasn't sure who said which one. We know he passed like beis hilah, but he wasn't sure beis hilah felt that alf shvat was the Rosh Hashanah or tu b'shvat was Rosh Hashanah for beis hilah, and that's why he's mistopic and had to do a double meiser. There's a big machlokus exactly how one does double meiser. Tosus here tells us. You see Tosus v'nog bo shnei isurin. Tosus has a few lines towards the top. He writes, B'yushalmi says, Mifarish dehafrish meiser sheni upado. He only took meiser sheni, just one time he took meiser sheni, and then he redeemed it on money. V'chalka meiser lanim v'meiser achal b'yushalim. Said he split it up, and he took meiser only one time, but took that one meiser and gave it to Aniyim and ate it in Yerushalayim. He accomplished both, because meiser sheni is supposed to be taken to Yerushalayim, meiser ani is supposed to be given to Aniyim. He accomplished both. He didn't take meiser twice. Other Rishon held, he took meiser once and then took it a second time. This held, he only took it once, but just split the redemption among the eating and among the Aniyim.
Fine.
Okay, good. Says the Gemara further. Meisiv Marzuchin. Now Marzuchin has the following question. It's still going in the same discussion whether they follow Beis Shammai or not. Meisiv Yalda Kolosos Shel Shammai Hazakin. You might remember this in the Mishnah in Sukkah, that his daughter-in-law had given birth, and it was on Sukkis. Upiche says Hamazeva, and Shammai had opened up the ceiling above where the child was staying. V'sichach Agabe Mita B'Shokatan, and had built a schach on top of the Mita, above the crib, or the bed. So the Marashah points out, we're not talking about a child here, an infant, a newborn. Because a newborn obviously is not chayim and chinuch. There's no need to put a schach on. So the Marashah says we're talking about, there's another child also that was there, that was 5 or 6, who was chayim and chinuch. That's why he built the schach. But the Pnei Yeshua writes, no, the Pashup Shad is, it says, why else are we talking about the fact that his daughter just gave birth? If we're talking about a 6-year-old, why? What's the necessity of talking about her having given birth? So Pnei Yeshua says we are talking about a newborn. So newborns chayv and chinuch? Of course not. So it says Bnei Yeshua, there's a special gzeres hakasev by Sukkah that says kol ha'ezrach. Kol includes even katanim. Normally chinuch is only 5, 6, 7, depending on the mitzvah, how much das you need for the mitzvah. But the special gzeres hakasev by Sukkah that kol includes everybody, even a ben yom echad, even a 1-day-old, even a newborn is chayv and chinuch of a Sukkah. Also says Bnei Yeshua, there's another reason why, because the pasuk tells us we have a drasha. Teshu kein tadiru. You're supposed to live in the sukkah like you live in the house. Says the Pnei Yeshua, just like a person lives in the house with his children, so you're supposed to live in the sukkah with all your children, even your newborns. That's one of the reasons why, one of the heterim, why people don't sleep in the sukkah outside on sukkahs, one of the heterim the Rama writes is because teshu kein tadiru. So just like you live in the house with one's wife, so you're supposed to live in the sukkah with one's wife. And since it's not so tzniyas to sit in the sukkah, depending where the sukkah is, not so tzniyas to sleep in the sukkah with one's wife, that's why there's a heter to sleep inside the house, according to the Rama.
Did you sleep in the sukkah?
The first couple of nights, yeah.
Oh, man?
Yeah.
Wasn't no snakes.
Snakes? No. Okay. So this is the shahadis. We see here that that they had this whole case in the Gemara and sukkah, that they opened up the schach over the following Beis Shammai.
Any help?
So Gemara says, Asu, Shema Mina Asu. Gemara says, no, Hasam Roa, the person who sees this, Roa, Omer Lafushi Aver Kavid. And we didn't even discuss, what was the halacha by Beis Shammai? Sorry. The Beis Shammai held that by a sukkah, Rashi tells us that a katan that tsarach l'imo chai b'sukkah. A child who needs his mother, even though it's so young, still requires a sukkah. Beis Hillel felt there had to be an older child. So why is Shammai making such a schach for such a young child? Must be held like Shammai. Says the Gemara, no, a person who sees it, Hasan Haroah, the person who sees this going on, Omer Lafushi Aver Kavod, they're not going to think they're following like Beis Shammai. He's just simply thinking, oh, he wants some air. He wants a little window in the ceiling to get some fresh air in. And it's not necessarily that they're doing it to follow the opinion of Shammai. Now the Gemara quotes another case. Meisiv Marzutra Meisiv B'Shukas Yehu Shai Hayisab Yushlaim. The Shukas HaYehu, I'm not sure how to pronounce this exactly. Yehu or Yehu?
Shokat Yehu.
Yehu, okay.
Shokas.
Shokas, not Shukas. Shokas, okay. So they had this situation, Rashi tells us, of a hollow stone that was underneath a pipeline. And water would travel into it from the mountain. They had a whole, come down this whole irrigation, the pipe into this hollow rock. and it was in Yerushalayim, and it had a little hole in the rock which was connected to a mikveh. And if you have downstairs in the mikveh, there's a hole that connects the rainwater to the new fresh water that comes in. You need the rainwater. A mikveh has to be rainwater in the place where it falls. And then once it's there, you can have a connect to any new water that flows in from the pipes. You can't have, normally you can't have water that's shuvim. You can't have drawn water. Has to, when it comes to rain, there are two types of mikveh. There's a water spring, which is completely fine, or you have rainwater. Now, rainwater only works in the place where it lands. You can't transport it anywhere else. How do we have these mikvehs and get clean? It doesn't rain all the time. So you have this room there that had rainwater before they built it. They had rainwater before everything was covered with the ceiling, I assume. Rainwater was set there. Once it's there, you could have it connected and through Neshika have a little pipe to connect it to any other water, even though it's water that's drawn in, and it connects it, making it all considered rainwater. So they had the same thing. That water was traveling down from the wall, from the mountain, which is now Shuvim, which is Pasul. But it had a hole that connected it to rainwater, where rainwater was set in that area. So the Gemara says, V'chol taros shayu b'shalayim nasin agava. All Yerushalayim relied on this mikvah. This was the mikvah to be metahir everything. V'shalchu b'shamay. B'shamay sent. V'yachivu. And they extended. They made the hole wider. Why? She'b'shamay omrim acha tifchas berubo. You have to have it open up most of it. It can't be a little small pipeline. It has to be mostly opened up from the rainwater to the drawn water for it to work. The Mishnah tells us that Erev Mikvos, when you mix two Mikvos together, one Pasul, one Kasher, Kishfoferes, when it's a small little pipe is enough, Hanod, Bover, in its thickness, Ubechalala, Kishay Etzpos, Choses Mkomam. And if it's only this wide of two finger widths, so that's going to go back to the initial place. So that's all according to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel allows you for a very small hole, but Beis Shammai requires a much larger hole. Either way, you see from this case that Beis Shammai sent down his Talmidim to widen the hole. So we see we do act according to the opinion of Beis Shammai. So Gemara says, Shmami no asu. So they did do the according to Beis Shammai. Gemara says, no, Hasam Haroa, the person who sees this going on, is not going to say they're doing this because they follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. Rather, they're going to say, Hasam Haroa Omer, Lafu Shemaya Hu Dukavid. They're doing this to allow more water to pass through. Not because halachal you need this, it's just.
At any rate, Beis Shammai did it. So Beit Hillel did that according to Beit Shammai.
Right.
Beit Shammai himself built that bigger hole.
Right.
So how is that a proof that Beit Hillel is doing Beit Shammai?
No, the problem had been that the Gemara told us initially, we don't want Losis Godu. We don't want there to be different factions, different groups of people doing things, because it looks like Shtei Toros.
Yeah.
People are shaking lulav this way and people are shaking lulav that way. It looks like there are two different agudas going on here. So we wanted to know. What?
People do that, by the way.
Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah writes that when it comes to a minhag, a person in one shul, they can do different minhagim. When it comes to a halacha, you can't. So, for example, wearing tefillin chol hamoed is a halacha machlokas, whether halachli you're supposed to or you're not allowed to. Have that in one shul is a problem. That's two halachas. But two minhagim, the way you shake the nanum, it's all minhag. It's not halacha. So that the basis of Mishnah Berurah paskins, you can do different nanum in the same shul. But someone told me, if Weinberger says, everyone should do the same nanum here. That's true. Someone told me this just yesterday that he is very mocked, but everyone does the same nanum. I don't know. Okay. So anyway, so what's going to happen is, so if Beis Shammai argued, and do we ever find that they actually, even though we hold like Beis Hillel, do we ever find that Beis Shammai followed like what they did, what they held anyways? Because if they did, that's going to be a problem of near Kishtei Toros. It looks like two different Toros. So we're looking at all these sources, and a person who sees them doing this is not going to think, oh, you see they're passing like Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel, the two Toros? No, they're going to think they're just making it wider to allow better passage of water. So then it won't look...
So he certainly doesn't want you doing a second hodu. That's for sure. So I guess maybe the directions are all... He's also...
the second hodu.
We only shake on the first hodu.
Even the tzibur.
Yeah.
And for Yom Marna and everything else, you don't do...
That's right. That's the only the two Anah Hashems, but only the first Hodu, both cases. First Hodu only.
And even the Hodu's at the end, you only do Hodu?
Only the first Hodu.
And the second repeat it, you don't do it.
Right.
Wow.
So, and I know he doesn't like it if he hears somebody is shaking. So I guess it's also the issue of the direction, maybe, is also.
Uh-huh.
I did it.
Yeah, I know you did. And you heard about it. and you heard about it.
No, I didn't hear.
You heard about it.
First time I hear about it.
Interesting.
I'm new here, I don't know.
Okay.
But I don't know. I think many people did the second time one. In both cases. I don't think it's a known thing here. If it is true.
Fine, let's go weiter now. There's 20 minutes still full Amud. Says the Gemara, Toshma, another Raya. Dama Rabbi Lazar bar Sadok, Kishayisi lomed Torah, Eitzah Rabbi Yochanan HaChurani, when I used to learn by him, Reisi Shaya Ochel Pas Chareva, B'melech, I used to, B'shnei Betzuros. I saw he ate very dry bread with salt during the years of famine. And Basi Vodati Es Abba, I told my father what was going on. Armeli, so my father said to me, Holich lo, Zaysim, go bring him olives. Halachti lo, I brought him olives. Ra Osan Shein Lachan, and then Rabbi Yochanan saw that they were wet. And Armeli, Ein Ani Ochel Zaysim, I don't eat olives, because he was concerned that if it was wet, that means if food gets wet, it's possible to come tamei. He was concerned that the way traveling, bringing over the olives, maybe an Am Haaretz who was tamei touched the food. And since the food was wet, it made the olives wet. So, I went back to tell my father, says Rebbe Lazar, and to Rebbe Tzadok. Rebbe Tzadok, I said, he's not eating the olives. So, Amalei, so the Abba says back to him, Lech Amalei, go tell Rebbe Yochanan, Chavis Nekuva Hayisa. It was Elishasas Mucham Ashmarim. I was, when I collected the olives, I had a big hole in the basket, and I didn't want to collect any of the olive oil. So any of the oil came out, I didn't want there to be there. It happens to be that the shmarm, some of the sediment, I guess, or how the olives work, stuck into the hole, and the olive oil wasn't able to flow through. But the halacha is that the only time when liquid comes into contact with food, it's only going to be machshir to become tamay. Again, that's backtrack, sorry. For food to become tamay, food has to come into contact with seven liquids. One of the seven liquids of mayim, tal, dam, and so on. Now, it's not just if water falls on it. It has to be the water falls on it. Birutzon has to be desired to be there. So if water happens to fall or oil happens to fall on this unwantingly, that will not be machshir the food to then become tameh if somebody touches it, who's tameh. So here he's saying, when I collected the olives and some of the olive oil came out and spread on the olives, I didn't want to hold the olive oil. I wanted the olive oil to go to waste. The rye was, I had a hole in my basket. So how did it get wet in the first place? How did any of the olive oil get there? Because it happened to be something that stuck in the hole, so some of the olive oil remained in the basket, and then the olives got wet from the olive oil. But I didn't want the olive oil, therefore it was never going to become machshir, and don't be concerned, and therefore even if Am Haaretz did touch it, it wouldn't become tamei. Vitzna, and the Mishnah says further, Chavish shel zeisim, a bucket of olives, mugugolim, of, I guess, circular olives, b'shami omrim ein tzrich lanakev, there's no need to make a hole in it, you do need to make a hole in it. Okay. Because the Rashi explains why don't you need to make a hole? Because any of the olive oil that comes out of the olive, says Rashi, is not considered shemen. It's considered just meperos, just fruit juices as opposed to olive oil. I'm not sure how one distinguishes between the two. And Beis Hillel felt that no, any of the olive oil that may fall out of the olives would be considered olive oil, and would be machshir, so you do need a hole in the bottom of the basket to say that any olive oil you don't want, the hole proves to us that you don't want that olive oil. However, says the Brisa and Modim, they're both in agreement. Shim nikvo, v'sasmu shmarim shitor. Everyone agrees if there is a hole in the bottom, even Beis Shammai agrees if there's a hole, and it gets closed up, it would be tahor. Any of the olive oil that may remain in the basket would be unwanted, and therefore not machshir the olive. V'af apisha tamid shamai haya. And even though, I guess, Reb Tzadok, Reb Yochanan, who is this? Who's the Talmud? Even though Reb Tzadok was a Talmud of Shammai, he only did in accordance with Beis Hillel. So that's what the Gemara, that's the whole Braisa. Okay. Now the Gemara says, now, Iyamris Bishlama Asu, if you say that in general, Talmud of Shammai followed the opinion of Shammai, Hainu Rebusei, that's the Chiddush here. That even though all the other Talmudim followed, and Reb Tzadok was a Talmud, he didn't follow. That's a Chiddush. But Ella, Iyamris Loasu, my Rebusei. But if you say no one else followed, all the Talmudim listened to Beis Hillel, all the Talmudim Mishami listened to Beis Hillel, so my Rebusei, what's the Chiddush here that Reb Tzadok also listened to Beis Hillel? Everyone, all the Talmudim did. So it must be that this Braisa clearly shows that everyone, all the Talmudim actually did listen to Beis Shammai. It was only Reb Tzadok was the only one who listened to Beis Hillel. So this is the proof that Asu, it did Asu according to Beis Shammai. Then the Gemara says, Toshma, Shalu es Rabbi Yeshua, but Tzaras Habasmau. They asked Rabbi Yeshua, what's the status of Tzaras Bas? So he said, Tzaras Bas is Machlokas Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel held, Tzaras Bas is completely mutter, no need. And Beis Shammai says, no, Tzaras Bas is Zakuk to the brother and would require a Yibum or Chalitza. So what did they ask Rabbi Yeshua? What's the halacha? Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, as we know. According to Beis Shammai, Tzaras Bas is not Pater and requires either Yibum or Chalitza. against our mission. Our mission is according to Beis Hillel. So Rabbi Shu responds, what do you mean? Amar lehem, machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, as we should know quite well by now. It's machlokas. Halacha kidrei mi, who do we passing like they asked Rabbi Shu? Amar lehem, mipnei ma matem machs nisim rashai bein shnei hadar har magdolim. Why are you making me, forcing me to machrir between two great gedolim? Bein shtei machlokas and gedolas bein Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Miyusyari ani, I'm very scared. Shema, Yerutsu Gilgalti.
Will break my head.
Break my head, huh? Who? What, Yerutsu means to break, I guess. Okay.
Beis Hillel will break his head.
Okay. Beis Hillel will, yeah? That's not like Beis Hillel. That your article says Beis Hillel.
Yeah.
That's not his character. Oh, no. No, he said if he passing like Beis Hillel, that the Talmidim of Beis Shammai will break his head. That makes sense. That's what mine says, my Mesifta.
No, it says, if we would pass it like Beit Hillel.
Yeah.
Haya kover bekach, would decide by that, shekol elo shenoldo miguim kaele, hem mamzerim. And those people, the mamzerim, hayu alulim lagiv ba'alim.
Ah, the mamzerim, the Anshei Beis Shammai who come from the mamzerim. Okay, I got you. But either way, it's Anshei Beis Shammai. The ones who follow Beis Shammai, they're the ones which are more like Beis Shammai, was a little bit more stronger. He's Midas Gvura, Midas Din, as opposed to Beis Hillel, Midas Chesed. Okay. Aval ani omeid lachem. But Rishu said, I'm not going to paskin, but I'm going to testify to you. Al shei mishpachos gedolos. About two great families, Chosha families, Shayu B'Yushalayim, that lived in Yushalayim, and Mishpachas Beis Tzvuim, were their names, Miben Achmai. Umishpachas beis kufay mi ben mikoshesh. Shehem b'nei tsaros. They were the children of tsaros. Umehem kwam gedolim. So their, grandfathers had married a tsaros bito or tsaros whatever, ima, whatever it might be, and generated from these families were two kwam gedolim. That's all I'm going to tell you. Vishim shua gavim mizbeach. And they worked at the mizbeach. I'm not sure what the chiddush is. If once they're kwam gedolim, certainly they also worked in the mizbeach, but they had yichus. Now, I amris bishlama asu. So that's the whole story. If you say that they followed the opinion of Shammai, hainu dekamer misyari ani. That's why he was scared. The fact that he knew that there were people who followed Shammai, and if he said the halachas like Beis Hillel, they would come and break his head. So that makes sense. But el I amris la asu. If no one ever listened to Beis Shammai, amai kamer misyari ani. Why was he scared? So that's the initial raya. Mara says, wait a second. V'nihi na midasu. Okay, let's say even if they did, people did follow the Talmidim of Shammai, followed Shammai. What does it mean, Misar Ani, that I'm scared? Ha'amar Bishua, ein mamz elam mechayvim misis bezdin. It wouldn't generate mamzerim. Because according to Rabbi Shua, he held a mamzer can only be generated from a chiv isarkaris. But by Tzaris Bito, a Tzaris Bito would not be considered an erba.
It's only love.
It would only be a lav, I think, exactly.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, no. It's only from a chayv and mises bez and not from chayv karis. This would be a chayv karis. According to Beis Hillel, a tsaris bito is chayv karis. But according to Rabbi Shua, that does not generate a mamzer. According to Rabbi Shua himself, who's giving the answer, he thinks only from a chayv mises bezdin will generate a mamzer. And there's only chayv karis by a tsaris bito. So what's his concern? It wouldn't be a mamzer. So no one's going to come break his head. If he says, okay, Allah is like Beis Hillel, okay, you guys are not mamzerim anyways. Gemara says, Nihi nami de mamzer lahavi. Okay, they're not going to be a mamzer, but pagam hami yahavi. They're going to be pagam. They're not going to be able to be married a kohen. And maybe for that reason, they're going to want to break the head of Rabbi Shua. They like the breaking of heads, right? So the Gemara says, so mikava chomer me'almano. How do I know this? A kavachomer me'almana. What's a kavachomer? Ma'almana she'ein isura noeg b'chol banam pogum. An almana whose isur does not apply to everyone. The isur of almana only applies to the kohen gadol. She's the only person almana cannot marry. Everyone else she's allowed to marry. Yet if she does marry the kohen gadol, her son will be pogum and be a chalal, can't be, is not a kohen. Zu she'isura shav b'chol. This woman, did I skip for a second? No, right? I'm good still, right? Okay. This woman said she's usher to everyone. So does it not make more sense for Chule that her son should be a pogum? That's the Kavachomer. So Gemara says, let's see. Gemara so challenges this now and says, wait a second. Kabai minei tsaros v'kafashile b'nei tsaros. The question, according to Beshua, was what the status of tsaros. Now you're answering about b'nei tsaros. You're talking about the children, about mamzerim or not mamzerim. You lost the track of the question here. The question was about the tsara, again, the woman, and now you're answering about the child. Where it says, Tarti kabai minei. There were two questions that were asked to Rabbi Shua. Tsaros mai, what's the lach of the tsaros? Can one marry the tsaros bito? Vim tim tsalomar tsaros ke beis hillel. If you say that they cannot marry, and we hold like beis hillel where it's also to marry tsaros bito, let's say they marry anyways, what's the status of b'nei tsaros to beis hillel, beis shammai mahu? B'nei tsaros of beis hillel, according to beis shammai, what would the halacha be? So, beis hillel says these tsaros bito are mutter, you don't need anything, and they marry someone else in the shuk. According to beis shammai, it's usher, what's the status of those children?
But what does it matter on those back and forth, in order to prove if they call this or not? If the Mishnah says clearly no. So, what does it mean? It's so many pages over that. If beis shammai goes to beis hillel or beis hillel goes to beis shammai.
Yeah, this is the Gemara. Yeah. There are important principles that we learn from these, Dinim, and there are important halacha lemaisa that we learn from these.
Did you?
Not from directly from the Gemara, but from the Gemara we can glean and learn certain things. But I hear why it's troubling. Gemara said, wait a second. We want to know what the halacha is of a tzara basil according to Beis Shammai's opinion. We don't care about Beis Shammai's opinion. Lamai naf kamina. Who cares? We don't. In the end of the day, we pass like Beis Hillel. Who really cares what Beis Shammai thinks about the Tzara's Beis Hillel?
That's what I'm saying, man.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. That's your question. So Gemara says the Mifshet, because there is a Shiloh that can be answered. The Mifshet, the following question: a Vlad Machzik Ushasa the Beis Hillel. That's the Shiloh. So what's the case? A Machzik Ushasa to review is that if a man divorces his wife, she marries somebody else, and that husband dies, and then he remarries his ex-wife now. So that's usher to do. And they have a child. What's the status of that child, of a Vlad Machzik Ushasa, according to Beis Hillel? How? Let's see. Mi kamrinan kal v'chomer. Do we say the kal v'chomer as follows? Ma almana l'kain gadol, shein isura shava b'chol. Almana, who's only usher to one person in the world, namely the kain gadol. And if they were have a child to be b'na pogum, he would be he blemished and not considered a kohen. Zu she isur shav b'chol and yodin she b'na pogum. But the iser machzik gushaso, which applies to everyone, anyone's also to marry the gushaso. So certainly that the child should be a pogum. O duma or one perhaps could ask igla mifrach ma le almana shehi atzma mischaleles, or maybe it's different by almana. Because the Amana herself is mischalelas, she herself is disqualified from marrying the Kohen Gadol. That if she were to have, if she were to marry a Kohen Gadol, she would become mischalelas herself now from marrying any other Kohen from this point on. So that's why her children are going to be mischalel. But by Machzik Grushaso, she already is pasul to Kohen because she's already a Grusha. Her remarrying of her ex-husband will not create any additional chilul on herself, so it won't create any chilul on her child. That's the suffix of the Gemara. The Gemara says then, Vamar lehu, so he says back to them, Tsaros misyari ani, b'nei tsaros ani meilachem. So what's the response? And Rishua says, according to all your questions...
That's why I am afraid it'll break my head.
Right, what am I scared of? I'm scared of the tsaros, who already performed yibum. And I'm scared, but I can testify about the b'nei tsaros. I didn't get
that. The two big families acted that way. The kimonia and whatever.
Uh-huh. It's probably kedai to do these two lines, and we end with the whole discussion. And finally, the Gemara says at the top of Tez Zayin, Amin Alef Toshma, Bimei Rebbe Dusa Ben Hyrkanis, the times of Rebbe Yusa Ben Dusa Ben Hyrkanis, Hutra, Tsaras habas la'achin, shmamina asu, shmamina. So clearly we have a testimony that at the times of Rabbi Dosa, they did act upon the opinions of Beis Shammai. And to your liking, we're finished with the whole discussion of Beis Shammai or not. Okay, everyone should have a good day and a good week.